You know, I've been thinking about Jonah last while, and I read this, and I read it again, and I read it again this way. He was quick to die. And, you know, it's a fascinating story. There's a lot of events that happen. And God had a big lesson. And I think when you read this, the lesson is for us too, a big lesson. It is for me anyway. You know, he used nature. He used a lot of things in nature to accomplish his will. He used the wind several times. He used the sea, he used the fish. He used the sun, he used the warm, he used heat. I'd like to read the first verse here. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." You know, I think I can tell what was going through Jonah's mind, what he was thinking. He said, "I'm not doing that." And you know, I've heard people already say that. I've said that. "Hey, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that." And you know, when you hear that, they're probably not going to do it. They've got another idea what they're going to do. That's what Jonah, that's what he decided. He said, "I'm not doing it." And he left. He said he left the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. And it says it again, that he left the presence of the Lord and went down to a boat. He said, "I get it out of here, I'm leaving. I'm not doing it." Why do you think he did that? Why did he not want to do it? You know, I think it's so easy to look at this and look at other people and their reaction for doing stuff and not doing stuff. But when it's related to them and not us, it's terribly easy for me to decide, you know, what they should do and what they shouldn't do. But when it's for me, different story. You know, when you think of Hitler, what do you think of? And he was a terrible guy. He did evil things. You know, he had the Nazis, they had the way they murdered those people. It was bad. And you know, if you look at the pictures of the people in the concentration camps, you look at the way the look on their face and what it revealed. It's a terrible thing. And I can relate to that, you know, a little bit, but not even close. Because nothing like that has ever happened to me. Not even close to that. But you know, these Ninevites, it says they oppressed the children of Israel. That's what they did. They, you know, history says that when they plundered a city, they took the skulls of human and made like a pyramid. And that was their mark. That was their trademark to let them know that, hey, we were here. This is what we did. You know, I read history on it, and it said, you know, a lot of things that they did. They skinned people alive. They did that to Jonah's people. He didn't want to go tell him. Hey, God's going to destroy you if you don't repent. Well, you know what happened? You know, we went on that boat. God sent that storm. Jonah had a plan. God had a plan too. And I have to wonder, you know, God used Jonah. Jonah knew God. Said they knew. If I can find it here. You know, the mariners, when they asked Jonah, he said, it's because of me. It's my fault. And he said, verse 12, he said, instead of to them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon me. You know, why did he, I just didn't think of this. Why did he tell them to throw him in? Why didn't he just jump in? They didn't want to do that. Just a thought, I don't know. Anyway, so they did that. They threw him in. They didn't want to, but they did. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. He was barn. That was it. They threw him in. The fish ate him. Swallowed him. That you know, this story always fascinated me when I was just little. There's storybooks about it. And you know, some people argue that, you know, it was a fish, it was a whale, it was, you know, it couldn't have happened and all that. You know, if it was a bluegill and God said it happened, I'd believe it. That's why. And that's just that's the way it is. It says that Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Long time to be somewhere where it's pitch black, it's wet, it's slimy, and it smelled, I'm sure, horrible. Everything was smashed against his face, the weed. And you know, maybe, probably not everybody, but I get claustrophobic, sure. And to be in a place like that, couldn't move, maybe a little bit. You know, for me, getting caught, you know, if I get in a position like that, 10 seconds is about all I can take, frantic. But, you know, Jonah prayed, he was earnest. He said, get me out of here. I want out. It says in verse 2, chapter 2, and I said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and now heard my voice. Verse 5, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. God heard him. And he put him back on dry land. And the word of the Lord came to unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Gave a second chance. This time he did it. He went and preached. And I think he was sincere in what he said. Because the people there, they repented. There was action, and they did it. And God heard their cry. And you know, that's the mercy of God. That's his grace. He said, in verse 10, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. He did it not. You know, the capacity that God has to forgive wickedness is something that is beyond my comprehension in a way. It just is. Look at Jonah's reaction. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my getting, when I was getting my country, therefore I fled. Before flown to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. You know, Jonah wished, he didn't want God to have mercy upon them. He understood it, in part, for himself. You know, this was in the Mosaic era, and you know, the children of Israel were God's chosen people. But Jonah, you know, he said, I think it displays, and you can see his selfish attitude. He was still bitter at these people for what they did, because what they did to him, what they did to his people. You know, there's a lot in this in chapter 4. You know, again, I just say that it you can see the character of Jonah, who he was. You know, after that, he went out and he said he sat out there and he wanted to see what was going to come of the city, what was going to happen to him. And you know how that God made that gourd grow up. And in verse 6, it says, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. That's the only place I find in this whole book that Jonah was glad over anything. And it was about himself, because God had put this shadow so it was so hot for him. And then God took that away. That worm came up and ate it. And he no more had that shadow over him. Then he got very angry. In verse 9 it says, and God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the Lord? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. You know, he was talking back to God. He said, I have a right to be like this. And I'm going to be like that, even until I die, even unto death. You know, when I think it was 40 Ken Boone with the concentration camps, she struggled with that forgiveness. And she was about, you know, when I read her book and what was her character and what she was like, you know, it was, I believe that bitterness and unforgiveness and grudging and all those things made you make, like you can see it in Jonah's life. I asked somebody, I said, when you read the book of Jonah, what do you think of Jonah? And they said, he's a grumpy old man. And I think that's exactly what it does. Bitterness, and it comes back to yourself. And you know, that's the way I see that. And when God extended mercy on these people, you know, like I said earlier, it's easy to say, well, yeah, they deserve mercy, and they deserve mercy, if we don't really know them, or they've never done anything against them. You know, this is kind of a, you know, illustration of it doesn't really apply, but yet it does. And let's say that tomorrow morning somebody came knocking to your door and they gave you something that you really, they gave you $300 or something. You really appreciated it. And you're just like, you never deserve that. And you thank them and it's like, wow, that's great. And the next day they did it again. And they did that for a whole year. But after a year, you were there and you were wondering why they're not coming. And you look out the window and you see him down the road at your neighbor's guy's place. And you wouldn't really like your neighbor because he had really done some bad things to you. And you'd say, hey, that's mine. You don't deserve that. The point I'm trying to make out is that mercy is for everybody. It's not just us. It's just not just me. Even when people are somebody or, you know, pretty terrible. That's you know, some of the things I've seen in this book, you know, you look at Joan and you say, you know, man, he just didn't get it. He just didn't get it. But it's easy to say that when, you know, when you're not involved. It is for me either way. Let's pray. Father in heaven,